The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland on this Memorial Day, 2024. Everybody's got their bunting out for baseball. Baseball not with the full schedule somehow on Memorial Day. I don't know why they don't have the full schedule anymore.
Yeah, they really should.
It's 11 games, but it's not the 15 that we used to be accustomed to. On the show today, Jake Hahn on the NHL playoffs. Get ready, NHL. You're about to take center stage for a long time, feels like. And we'll talk to Mike Somich at the end of the show today. We'll take some. We'll have a baseball break with Mark Borchardt here coming up momentarily. Kelly, June 6th, that is when the NBA Finals begins. It is set in stone. It is not this Thursday, it is next Thursday. That is 10 days from now. We potentially could be done with the conference finals tomorrow night.
Yep.
That would be a 9-day rest until an NBA Finals, which they set in stone. You and I were talking about this off air before the show. They set that in stone, maximize advertising dollars to make sure that there's no rest disparity for one team or the other heading into the NBA Finals. But it does seem like this is becoming more normal. There has never been two conference sweeps in the history of the NBA playoffs. Last year was the closest we got, where the Nuggets swept the Lakers. Pretty competitive as far as sweeps go.
Yeah, it's very much like these two series right now.
That's
right,
like the Mavericks T-Wolves. The Nuggets swept the Lakers, and if you recall, the Heat were on the cusp of sweeping the Celtics until the Celtics forced a game 7, and then the Heat smoked them at the Garden. By the way, if you're wondering how many best of 7s in the entirety of the NBA playoffs have ever gotten to a game 7 like Boston did to Miami last year, the answer is, Kelly, I have that. You ready for this? Boop, 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 boop. Only 4 teams out of 154 occurrences have ever even forced a game 7. Now, let me ask you this.
Wait, say that stat again?
So 154 times in the history of the NBA, there have been 3-0 leads.
Okay. That was a 3-0 lead. Okay.
Pardon
so
me.
To force a game 7.
To force a game 7 times. After a 3-0 lead.
Okay.
Only 4 times has it happened. And one of those was Boston getting Miami to a home court game 7 last year.
But zero times.
0-4 in those 4 games to actually get the 4-game comeback. So I ask you to begin the show. And by the way, this is a reminder for the old schoolers out there, because those of us of a certain age, we're getting back to the NBA Finals. For the last decade, we've been back to a 2-2-1-1-1 format, just like the rest of the playoffs. From 1985, Kelly, to 2014, the NBA playoffs switched, if you remember, to a 2-3-2. And the reason for that was in the 80s, Boston and LA were such stalwart dynasties that David Stern at some point decided, you know what? Was it David Stern or Larry O'Brien? I think it was David Stern by that time. Decided we're going to go 2-3-2 because the travel is such between Boston and L.A., coast to coast, and inevitably one team on each coast is going to get there that we ought to minimize the travel by the time the NBA Finals gets around. Adam Silver, when he took over for David Stern, was like, yeah, let's just go back to 2-2-1-1-1 because it's not always going to be coastal teams.
Yeah, that was always 1-2 where they – It wasn't as fair, right? You steal one of those if you're the team with 3 home games. If you steal one of those first 2, you got a chance to close it out on your home court.
I thought that as well. I thought that it somehow swung a strange advantage to the team without home court advantage because of that format. Okay, so we have Dallas 3-0 over Minnesota. Congratulations to you because you got those Dallas futures tickets. We obviously have Boston 3-0 over Indiana in a series where Indiana did not have Tyrese Halliburton for Game 3. We don't know if he's going to be available quite yet for Game 4. But Indiana could very easily be up 2-1 in this series. Mm-hmm. And then the Dallas-Minnesota series, they've all been competitive. But, you know, I was texting Felica and Will yesterday. I was like, well, Luka and Kyrie going to do their thing down the stretch. You know it's coming, right?
I mean, Minnesota could be up 3-0, though. Like, they could be legit be up
3-0. So this is my question. So in the Indiana case, right, getting back to the format things we were just talking about, 5-7 are still in Boston. So even if you can picture Tyrese comes back, they get game 4, you still got 2 games on the road, even though obviously the Heat, stubbed their noses at that last year. In the case of Minnesota and Dallas, if you can steal game four, you still get 5-7 at home, and it is a kind of shifting of pressure in a really weird way to Dallas.
No, I hear you. I think that was a...
So could it happen is the question. Do we have a puncher's chance or no?
I mean, look, I got Mavericks futures tickets, and it's you could tell me that it's I'm safe. 154-0 is the history, right? I'm good. I'm not feeling that way yet. I think that's more of a better's mindset, right? Although these have cashed, like I'm not thinking that way yet. But I will say, as someone holding Mavericks futures tickets, oh boy. Did game two and game three both feel huge? I mean, all three games, right? But to steal one of those games, or, you know, to beat Minnesota in Minnesota on a Luka Doncic last-second shot, to steal a win there. And then, I mean, when Minnesota kind of surged back in that game last night, and then Kyrie and Luka took over in clutch time, were just amazing as they have been all series. Same thing, right? Like, just to be able to walk out of there with a win in a very, very tight game felt massive because of that, right? You steal one or two in Dallas, it's a brand new series all over again.
Indiana 90-1 to come all the way back again. We don't know about Tyrese. Games 5-7 will be in Boston. I'm looking at a book where Minnesota is south of 12-1. Are you serious on this? You got to shop around for these, obviously, but I'm looking at one where they're south of 12-1 to come all the way back. Okay, whatever. That's not a good price.
I don't even think DraftKings has it posted.
Oh, no, I'm looking at it in a certain spot here.
Yeah, DraftKings doesn't even have the Pacers-Celtics series price up.
Let me just ask you
and
this.
Yes, Timberwolves 10-1.
Yeah, like, well, really? Yeah. That's all you're giving me?
Yeah, that's all you're getting.
It's 0-154.
0-154. All you're getting is 10-1.
10-1. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good bet.
And like Carl Anthony Towns seems to have forgotten how to play basketball.
Okay, so most of you and I were texting yesterday. And I think it started by me saying, has there ever been, and yes, we're going to bring this up one more time because I haven't brought it up in a couple weeks. Has there ever been an award given to a player, I'm talking about Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year, that was so quickly and resoundingly and repeatedly shown to be utter nonsense as it has in this postseason? Like the people who voted for Gobert. I'm not talking about them admitting it publicly. I'm talking about when it's them and their pillow as they sit and their final thoughts of the day. They have to know this is a sham,
right? Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. I think this series, like, I mean, again, we were texting all this yesterday, but this series goes even beyond that to me because it's, you're talking coach of the year, defensive player of the year, best defensive team by a, remember, we talked about this before the series. I brought it up multiple times. The defensive ratings at the regular season, the difference between where Minnesota was and the second-best team was the same difference between second and 13th. Yeah. That's how good Minnesota was all year. They got that going for them team defense-wise. The defensive player of the year that we all gave a lot of credit for the team defense too, right? Coach of the year, and they're getting dismantled by the same offensive action that Kyrie and Luka are running time and time again.
There are no adjustments. There have not been adjustments.
They've tried things, Gil. It's nothing's working. Nothing is working.
But it shows that, like, Gobert, okay, you're a great rim protector, but you can't do anything else, as Luka so clearly showed.
Definitely can't put him on an island one-on-one with those guys. Oh, my gosh.
At the end of game two, the greatest example of that, as he just floundered trying to keep up with Luka. By the way, those post-game interviews with Kyrie after game one and Luka after game two were some of the greatest television interviews you'll ever see after a game, where both Luka and Kyrie sort of sheepishly, when asked about, you know, how do you fight this defense, and they both kind of with like a wry smile, quietly, well, we take we just adjust to what they give us. Luka even came out and said, oh, I'm not doing very well right now. I'm not very, I don't know if he said fast in his somewhat broken English or whatever, because I'm faster than him though.
Yeah. Chris Mitch, coach of the year nominee. Sorry.
Yeah, he didn't win it.
Dags.
Yeah. So I just, yes, he's a good rim defender, but like the drop down defense and the constant alley-oops. What was that stat we gave after game two, which was, remember, in halftime of game two, the T-Wolves were outscoring the Mavericks at the half from behind the arc, 33-6.
Yep.
but they were only up three. Why? We said this last week. Because they have 10 dunks. So it's like, and now, okay, let's just throw this in the mix. I want to just sort of think, I mean, does Minnesota have a shot here? Lively? We don't know.
That's huge.
That's
that
huge, right?
Huge.
So that takes away some of that.
Yes.
The adjustment that the Thunder had made against the Mavericks was, we'll actually crunch Luka and Kyrie. If you can beat us, you have to beat us with threes. And you and I were talking about, PJ Washington did, right? And
yes,
those guys
yeah.
did. But we were talking about how some in our basketball viewing and basketball analyst's brain, okay, if you beat them by the three, we all get it.
I don't even care if it's wide open.
But there is something so laughably ridiculous about getting beaten by 10 lobs and alley-oops, right, where you dunk it over them every time.
I mean, I think that as a viewer and a fan, Kill, I would think if you're playing on the court, it's got to be even worse. I mean, we were talking about, like, if by the third time I've had a lob thrown on me, like, I'd be tackling guys. Hugging these centers, running towards the basket. I saw this stat this morning from ESPN. Mavs have 48 alley-oop dunks this postseason. Rest of the NBA combined 59.
Yeah,
it says it. I mean, they're doing it time and time again over Rudy Gobert.
Talking about adjustments, they adjusted offensively to that because it's not like the Mavs were playing all season like that, right?
A little bit more since the All-Star break, but right. No, not to this level.
We'll talk more about this. Largely based on how I have anything that might have been right by me was torpedoed by injury, and then all the other stuff was just wrong. And then I'll ask about the final weekend of the regular season. Baseball break next, though. Borchard, the Acuna injury, the impact next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240. You can now secure your subscription, rather, for just $199. Sign up today. We'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. But hurry. The special offer is only available until May 31st. That is Friday. With VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, the offer expires this Friday, May 31st, so visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG, a numbers game. Do it now. 5 days left.
SVSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly had a migraine yesterday. You all right, man?
Yeah. Yeah, anybody who has chronic migraines, fun weekend. Laid out for 2 days.
Here's what I want to know. Do you know, I asked you this, but I think for public discourse on it. Do you know that they're coming?
No. No, it's always the worst part. Like I was telling you, like you think, but whenever you get them, like I think back on things. Like I don't like, I never have any hunger like during them, so you don't eat like before it comes on and like that. Like when I was feeling it, like kind of Friday night, I was like thinking back. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't really eaten anything all day. No duh.
No duh.
No duh. And like the problem is, like for so many people deal with this stuff, like it's they know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can't really sleep, but you're exhausted. And the problem is, the longer they go on, the worse that gets, right? So like you haven't slept, you're more tired, but you can't sleep. It's fun. It's
yeah.
Fun. Sitting in a dark, quiet room. Yeah.
Glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, man.
Okay, let me get my tennis picks real quick here because there's rain. So the French Open began yesterday in Paris. There has been rain on and off yesterday, today. There will be rain on and off, you ready for this? All the way until Friday. So this isn't going to be frustrating at all. So we have a couple matches still that have not started yet today. I don't know if they will during the show. I don't know if they will after. You know how this goes. But I do on the men's side have Thiago Monteiro. Thiago Monteiro is a Brazilian clay court specialist. He is a coin flip right now. I mean, last night, again, all these picks are at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, every pick is on at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. So last night I gave out Monteiro against Miramir Kecmanovic at minus 104. He's minus 109 right now, so you can still play him. He's a coin flip. But Monteiro is the play. Remember, those are best of five. And on the ladies' side, I have a big dog still to come. And that is in the person of Victoria Tomova. Victoria Tomova. Victoria Tomova is yet to start. She is a I got her at a plus one. Looking what her for what her price is right now, and I am not seeing her up on this board. Tomova, oh, it started. It started, and she's already broken Alexandrova, and she's plus 198. Ugh. Again, ugh. This is, you don't know with the rain and the start and stop, but this, again, was on VSiN.com/picks. She has, by the way, she has not broken. She has a break point. She's up one love against Ekaterina Alexandrova, so we'll see. So she has not broken yet, but she's up one love early in that one. So that one did start. So Thiago Monteiro is the only one that has not started yet.
Dumb tennis question for you. Feels like this do they get a lot of rain this time of year?
I was just thinking that.
It feels like this happens often, like during the French Open.
I don't know if I'm...
Like, and I don't know if it's the rainy season in Paris. Like, I have no idea.
Tomova breaks are right there. I don't know if that's a... If I'm remembering that incorrectly, but it sure felt it feels that way recently. Just like the same way that we were talking about the NBA Finals and this break between the Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, because it happened the way it happened last year, and the we actually got saved from a long break, but we might have had it. And this year, it looks like we might get it. Remember, there was a Warriors year. Wasn't there a Warriors championship year where the break between the Conference Finals and the Finals was just endless? Because I think it was a 4-1, maybe.
That's where it's become. It's become like it feels like it's a thing every year.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
And I don't know if that's because we're so immersed in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back to the NBA for a second. So I was saying before the break, I feel like this entire playoffs, like there's some things. We're going to talk about the Guardians coming up at the top of the hour. You know how much I'm into tennis, you're into golf. And then there's some things where I'm clear to say, boy, I've either gotten everything wrong or everything that could have been right got torpedoed by injuries. So, right, like I thought Jimmy Butler was going to, you know, give the Celtics hell again in the first round. He got hurt. I thought Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers were going to give him hell. They probably should be up 2-1. But Haliburton got hurt, right? The Celtics have just gotten the royal flush of injuries. So there's that stuff. But then there's also, I am still stunned by the Nuggets blowing that 20-point lead last week. Like, it's been 8 days, and it still has left a mark. Honestly, it completely destroyed the NBA playoffs for me. Because I was like, I can't process it. And then the T-Wolves go out, and they're down 3-0, the Mavericks. And then I also called, by the way, the hits keep coming. I also called that Nuggets-T-Wolves series the NBA Finals, right? So I was like, whoever comes out of this is winning the NBA Finals.
Yep.
So I say all this with that backdrop of I'm trying to make sense of it all, and I'm trying to sort of contextualize it. That last weekend of the NBA regular season, something happened in the Eastern Conference, something happened in the Western Conference. Remember, in the Eastern Conference, Cleveland purposely tanked, right? They looked at the scoreboard. They saw Milwaukee was losing. That meant whatever seed they got was on their racket. And they knew that if they ended up with the number two seed, if they beat Charlotte, it was the Hornets they were playing, right? If they beat Charlotte on that final Sunday, they would be the number two seed, and they would have to play Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, who would land in the seventh seed. So they purposely lost, and they're like, nah, we're going to get a home series against the Orlando Magic. We need to win a playoff series because we got crunched last year by the Knicks. They did that. They ended up winning in seven. Mazel tov to the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? But what that ended up doing is...
Donovan Mitchell's still going to leave you losers.
He's still going to leave you. You see, losers. J.B. Bickerstaff, you still lost your job. Sorry about that. I love your dad. Okay, so what would have happened had they decided to play it out correct or kosher way, right?
Wow. Okay.
They would have ended up as the number two seed.
Yep.
They would have played Philly. Let's say Philly wins. Philly gets Boston in round two. Does the whole East change? Or do we have to factor in Embiid's injuries would have happened anyway and it wouldn't have changed? Maybe it would have, maybe it didn't. Denver, Friday night, two nights before that, squandered the big lead to the Spurs. Remember, Wembanyama had 34 points that night.
Crazy game.
He had 34 points that night, and I want to say he had like a stretch of 17 points in 3 minutes. Like, that game got lost. While we were talking about defensive player of the year, he was just this offensive juggernaut in that game. So the Nuggets don't end up with the number one seed. They end up number two. OKC ends up with number one. If the Nuggets had held on to that lead and gotten the number one seed, then they end up playing the Mavericks in round two, does that end up being completely different? I ask all of this because as I try to make sense of it all, I'm wondering, has the NBA gotten to the point where it is so matchup specific
yeah.
that ought to be our biggest handicapping factor in all of this? And we can no longer, there's no team that is so dominant like the Jordan Bulls, like the Celtics and Lakers of the 80s, like the Bad Boys Pistons. Pick your like the Curry Clay. Let's be more modern. The Curry Clay Warriors, who are the biggest dynasty of them all. Is there no team that is that dominant anymore? That has to be your only handicap now. Is who are they going to end up playing?
I think this is a great question because yes, I think that or a great topic because I think yes that we have gotten it. It has come so far to that point, but I think what you're seeing right now in this Mavericks Timberwolves series. Is stars still matter? Like the
stars still matter.
Luka Doncic yes. and Kyrie Irving. And look, in full transparency, this was I thought I have Mavericks tickets. I did hedge. I thought Timberwolves were going to have a leg up in this series. The defense had been that good all year round. On the perimeter, at the rim, has been so superior. I thought they had the advantage here. But we did say before the series started, the floor is so high for the Mavericks when you have those two players, and that is. Proven to matter more, and we laughed about the way I said it caveman-wise on, like, Friday or Thursday, Luka offense better than Rudy Gobert defense, okay?
Not like, even at that. Luka offense better. Defense, Timberwolves defense bad.
Exactly.
That's man. Right.
Like, it just, when you have those type of players to fall back on, especially, I mean, we're talking about the fourth quarters or where they are winning every single
every
one of these games.
All these games come down to that.
And they have been absolute stars when they've needed to be stars. And Karl Anthony Towns cannot be found.
Oh.
And Anthony Edwards is exhausted or just figuring out how to play in this series in game three.
Yeah. He showed up last night.
He was fine. He was fine. But, you know, he's not Michael Jordan, so let's shut up about
it. But that point you made, though, also, is that basketball ultimately, right, unlike football, which is the most, you know, team of all team sports, basketball ultimately is five players on a court. And if you have the best couple players, that can still take over.
Now, as you've kind of hinted a lot these first 30 minutes, we've got a long way to talk about the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But Dallas going to have that same advantage going into Boston.
And the Celtics opened at minus 280 in a hypothetical series against the Mavericks.
That's we're going to talk about those numbers because they've moved.
Yeah, they've moved. And they should have moved. Because what kind of number was that? Why do people believe in this team so much? I do not get it. Baseball with Borchard next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that's Zyn. So what makes Zyn number one? Here are the stats. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. It's available in 10 varieties and 2 strengths, and is made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering on your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Not sure if Zyn is for you? Give it a try with our 10-day trial. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com/Zyn10. That's Zyn, Zyn.com/Zyn10. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, Bar Canada, the Barrage, on A Numbers Game, brought to you by DraftKings. Kelly? A baseball story on this Memorial Day, courtesy of Tim Lawson, who is the host of A Better Life. Was it Better Life? His podcast that he no longer does now, by the way.
Right.
He also, of course, is a bit of a beating the book podcast historian. And Tim sent this along. This is from this is Elmer Gedeon. Does the name Elmer Gedeon mean anything to you? Elmer Gedeon had only played 5 games with the Washington Senators when he was drafted into the military during World War II. He trained to be a pilot in the Army Air Forces and flew B-26 bombers in Europe. Lieutenant Gedeon told the press, quote, "I'll be back in baseball after the war." On April 20th, 1944, Gédéon was flying a mission when his plane was hit by anti-aircraft flak and crashed over France. He was initially reported as missing in action, but eventually was pronounced dead. Of the more than 500 major league players who served in the military during World War II, only Gédéon and one other were killed in action. Elmer Gédéon laid to rest in Section 34 of Arlington National Cemetery. We honor his service. A little baseball historical note on this Memorial Day, courtesy of Tim Lawson.
Yeah, great stuff from Tim. And as always on Memorial Day, thank you to all the servicemen and women out there and, you know, all those that, like that right there, that paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely. Memorial Day was always a day of full baseball, bunting in the rafters. We don't get full baseball. We get 11 games today. Mark Borchardt is here to help us along on this Memorial Day. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. Yeah, that's an interesting story about Memorial Day, and I think it's important that we keep that in mind, that, you know, people actually have died so that we can enjoy what we enjoy in the United States, and including, you know, doing things like betting on baseball, which real first world problems, Gil.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Before we get to today's slate, and your plays, let me ask you, obviously the big news in baseball yesterday, you know, besides the Guardians' surge to try to get May, which we'll get into later. Ronald Acuna Jr., devastating news yesterday. Non-contact injury between second and third base in the Braves game. And their 8-1 win over the Pirates at PNC Park yesterday. 2021, remember his right knee crumpled out in right field when he was making a play. This was just like a delayed steal and his left knee crumpled. Full blown out of the knee. He's out for the season. And I'm just curious, you know, if you could quantify that for us, and I'll go straight to a betting market on this specifically. This is the Braves to miss the playoffs is still 16-1. Is that a bet or is that an overreaction if we bet that?
I think it's an overreaction. I think that team's pretty deep. And it's interesting that he's out because I was watching that game yesterday and they didn't know during the game. So it's gonna make the projections completely different. Him being out of the lineup, maybe not completely different, but it's gonna definitely bring their win percentage down. And I haven't taken him out of the Monte Carlo simulations right now, but I think that seems pretty high to me, just based on with him in the lineup. I've got them still winning the division, you know, with him in the lineup like 82% of the time. So. I think his base runs are like 6.5 or something. So you gotta figure they're gonna lose a couple base runs from one of the lineup spots. So it's not gonna be as, I think, severe as I mean, you know, he's got a big name, so people are gonna react to it, obviously, and he does add some probability there. But you know, without taking him out of the lineup and putting in a replacement player, I wouldn't know, you know.
What was the percentage of time you had them winning the division?
This is with him in there, 80%. I mean, they still have really good parts like that. Chris Sale's really good, Max Fried, and then their bullpen's still top five. And if you look at like Ozuna and Olsen, like he's still around 6 base runs created, and that's taking in like I think he's got like 200 or 215 plate appearances. So part of this season, people are really down on Matt Olson. Like, what's he do? What's wrong with him? Well, the guy's got a 110 weighted runs created plus, so it's not exactly like he's totally awful. It's just he's down from last year. So again, that's a really high standard. When you have a 110 weighted runs created plus, and people are like, "What's wrong with Matt Olson?" That's kind of a high standard to hold, Gil.
Yeah, and again, that's the difference between baseball. As big of a name as Acuna is, and he's the MVP, right, from last year. They don't get any better than Acuna. But he is one player in a baseball team, despite that, as great as he is. Still 18-1. What did I say? 18-1? Yeah, 16-1, pardon me, to miss the playoffs. And only plus 120 to win the division. Like, it's not like they became a massive dog. Philly incrementally higher at minus 150. The Braves at plus 120. I know you can't feel good about it if you have Braves division tickets after what's happened with he and Strider, but the point being, the market didn't go crazy, I guess. I sent you a bunch of other division odds. Was there anything else that stuck out to you?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I like, actually. I like the Twins to win that division. I mean, they're plus 340, and I've got them winning 60% of the time. They're pitching that relief, the bullpen's best in baseball, has been all year. And then, you know, Pablo Lopez, Paddock, Joe Ryan – Bailey Ober. I mean, they're not lighting up the world, but they still, if you just look at strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball rate, they're a solid rotation, Gil. So I know Cleveland. Yeah, your bet with Cleveland's looking really good for May. What kind of price did you get on, by the way, with that Cleveland bet? That's a good bet. They're right there, right? 20 wins right now?
No, not quite 20 wins. But March, April, it was 65-1, famously.
No, I'm talking about, don't you have it for May now?
Yeah, May was 16-1. And really, you know, part of that plays into what you just said about the Twins, which is, you know, the biggest part of that handicap is who are they playing? And the reason that I made the bets in both March, April, and in May is because the Guardian schedule is just so easy in both. And so that plays into your hands as well, right? Because obviously we don't really pay attention to strength of schedule this early in a baseball season typically. But Cleveland moving forward, because of who they've played in March, April, and May, they're going to have a top 10 hardest schedule in all of baseball the rest of the way. So that helps your Twins thought out as well.
Yeah, no, I looked at that, and by like 20 wins in May, they won 9 straight. I'm like, you're looking pretty sweet on that one. I mean, it's hedge time maybe, but I don't know. And then another bet that I like are the Orioles to win the we'll stay with the American League. The American League, I have given them 66% of the time winning that division, minus 202. And I just think they have better pitching than the Yankees do. And if you look at the Yankees, you know, they're up at the top of the division, but those advanced metrics for their pitchers, they're good. They're not great. I would take Bradish and Rodriguez and Corbin Burns over their rotation at this point. And they're going to get Cole back, and that's something to think about. But I still think, like, I mean, no offense, because it is Luis Gil, but it is spelled kind of like Gil. And always looking for the Luis Gil, Tyler Alexander matchup. The numbers game special, but I think Baltimore's a good player. I think they should be the favorite. You're getting plus 200, Gil.
Wow, that flies in the face of a lot of, just anecdotally, I'm hearing a lot of Yankees love. So you like the Orioles 2-1 to win the AL East. And yes, I did get a lot of tweets when Heal was facing Alexander that one day. Everybody was tweeting me. Heal is, by the way, if you go to FanGraphs, Heal is a bit of smoke and mirrors. Like, he's good. He's not this good.
Yeah, I mean, so I account for the whole rotation and just kind of looking at the numbers, like, you know, based on strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball percentage. And I think the walk percentage is like a 300 plate appearances, and the strikeout percentage, ground ball percentage is what last 150. So Baltimore's at 24% strikeout percentage, 7.6 walk percentage, 45.9 ground ball percentage. And then the Yankees are at 23.9 strikeout percentage, 8.9 walk percentage, and 42.9 ground ball percentage. And what does that mean? It means that the Baltimore Orioles are ranked number 2 in baseball if you do like an ERA from those components. And the Yankees are 14th. So, yeah. I mean, it's pretty good stats to use, I think, you know, moving forward. And that's what the stats show, Gil.
30 seconds, Mark. Who you got today, real quick?
I'm going to throw out a parlay here, Gil. I'm going to go with the Twins, and I'm going to go with the Padres. The Padres are actually pretty good to make the playoffs. They're getting plus money, got them 60%. But this parlay pays 1.54, plus 154, Twins-Padres, Gil.
Twins-Padres, Borchard with the Memorial Day parlay. By the way, Luis Gil, 203 BABIP, 5.8% home run to fly ball rate, and a walk rate that is near 5 a game. Mark, enjoy your holiday, obviously in the proper context. Thank you so much for making the time.
Awesome, Gil. My pleasure. Have fun.
Jake Hahn on hockey next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It says we're so close to crowning an NBA champ. You know, after that delay, up to the NBA Finals. Then we will. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it does not hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. We get texts, Kelly, in addition to tweets. Are you aware of that?
We don't get many tweets today. Weatherman Chris Felica?
Weatherman Chris Felica does confirm, because he's a very savvy international traveler. He says, yes, very rainy this time of year in Paris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I love when I just ask questions on the air, too, that I could, like, easily Google. You know, and be like, hey, is it rainy this time of year, Gil?
That's right. So what are the prices of onions in Madagascar? If you want us to know. Michael Montesano, Circa Booby Prize winner, year one, $100,000. He said, these playoffs have just installed Wemby as a minus 200 favorite for Defensive Player of the Year when the odds come out next year.
No, that's
Go
okay.
Bear 8-1. If it's minus 200, how much can you get down?
I don't even know what they're gonna price that at.
I have no clue either. By the way,
I feel like it's not going to be that short, but I don't know.
Victoria Tomova, who's our plus 198 play. Remember, we still have Thiago Monteiro to come at the French Open. Tomova she broke while we were mentioning that, again, that it's at VSiN.com/picks. Then she got broken back. Now she's up a break, serving for the first set up 5-3 on Ekaterina Alexandrova. What could go wrong, Kelly? In a early, by the way, 24 hours into the French Open, our most defining thing is that we were up 2-0 in a play yesterday, 2-0 in a men's match, and we gacked it.
Ugh.
That was Terence Atman, French player.
Can't ever trust him.
By the way, during the match, Terence Atman got upset that he lost a point. He hit a fan with a ball that he hit. Which usually is an automatic disqualification, but it was like home cooking because he's French, and they're like,
"Are you serious?
You can keep playing." Yeah, we're done. He's like, "Hey, you can keep playing. You can lose
ridiculous.
This." It was ridiculous. Jake Hahn joins us ostensibly to talk about hockey, but he knows tennis too, and I think he's got some French Open plays. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, which is exactly how Mark Borchard came to us. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing great, guys. And I was chatting with you before I came on, and we were kind of going over some plays that we could have left that have started, and we're both on Tomova. So
yes,
I'm hoping
we did not know that.
Out this first set, and we can get some good vibes here to start the day.
At JHan4, that's number 4. Jake is the co-host of the Point and Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Any other thing that you have pending today in tennis? Or is that it?
I think Dom Koepfer could take a set off of Medvedev later. As we know, Medvedev doesn't love clay, although he's gotten a lot better in that department and does seem at least a little bit more comfortable on the surface. But he also tends to start slow in these slams where, first couple rounds, maybe he'll give you a set or even two. And I think the over on games there would be the play for me. So that one doesn't start until very late in the day. So I've got my eye on that one. And in terms of an outright, Gil, I know you're heavy on Iga. I see it on your French Open bets there. And hey, you can't argue against that play. Iga on clay at this tournament, she deserves to be a decided favorite. But I do think Rybakina has a legitimate shot. Just if they ever do get into a head-to-head situation, which wouldn't be until the final. Rybakina around 8-1, I think, is where I got my eye, at least for some value on the women's side.
And can't argue with her, as she's always live and everything. Okay, by the way, a set point for Tomova. We are bearing the headline, of course. The biggest thing that is going on at the French Open right now is that Rafa Nadal, winner of 14 tournaments here at Roland Garros, is taking on Sasha Zverev. And when it first turned on the TV next to us, because I'm looking through Kelly, Zverev had already won the first set, and he was about to break Nadal in the second set. And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to go very well. Nadal, by the way, not committing to this being his last French Open. He's leaving it open. But then we did the show went on for a couple minutes, and I turn. Nadal breaks Zverev. So Rafa Nadal up a break in set number 2, and it is pandemonium at Philippe Chatrier. I don't even know if they're playing at Philippe Chatrier. I just wanted to say.
Poor Zverev. Yeah. Anybody with that doesn't have a ticket on him, there's no way they're rooting for anyone but Nadal.
Come on, Rafa. Okay, let's get to hockey. We were just talking earlier, Kelly and I was, specifically I was, about how these NBA playoffs, man, what you think you know either gets torpedoed by injury or then you just don't know. Some other stuff just flat out. When I polled folks about, and this is just before the conference finals, who they thought would be in the Stanley Cup final, most people said, oh, it's Florida and Dallas. If I remember correctly, you did not. Didn't you say the Rangers?
Well, my pre-playoff pick was the Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers in the Cup final, guys. So as you know, when you get this far with it, you get into a like, and obviously you see a lot of things through the first couple of rounds, right? That might change your view, even though your team's got through. I might look at it and go, well, yeah, Florida's playing so great now, and Dallas looks really deep. So should I change my mind? But I just sort of sticking with that preseason prognostication or pre-playoffs prognostication. And look, the Rangers have had to work for their wins, guys. It has not been easy for them by any means to be up 2-1 in that series against the Florida Panthers. And sometimes you just win your overtime games, and that can be the difference in a really close, tight series. Florida knows that from the other side last year, right? We saw their run to the Stanley Cup final, and it seemed like they won every single close game, every single overtime game, one goal game went the way of the Florida Panthers. So at least early in this series against the Rangers, they're getting a taste of their own medicine, where game one, they completely dominated and deserved the win. And then two close games, game two and three, that could have gone either way. We could be talking 3-0 Panthers right now, but the Rangers find a way to win a couple of close one goal overtime games. And that can sometimes be the difference in these series.
Okay. So you, because of your pre-playoffs prognostication, as you put it, you would not be the guy to say Florida plus 127 right now, down 2-1. Would you if you didn't have that thought, if you had never made that prediction and you were coming in here blind, would you say to people, hey, Florida plus 127, pretty good?
Well, I think if you're looking to bet Florida in the next game, right, in game four, where they will be on home ice, they'll be priced around, I believe, minus 150, minus 160, just like they were in yesterday's game. If that's your thought, if you feel like Florida's going to win that game, then I think you take the series price instead, thinking, okay, they're going to tie this thing up 2-2. Yes, the Rangers will still have home ice advantage either way, but I think it's a nice way to get some plus money instead of having to lay the chalk in that game. Or you stay away, you wait to see what happens, and if they get down 3-1, then you're obviously going to get a much better price if you still feel like the Panthers can come back. It won't be for me, guys. I'm just going to continue to stick with the Rangers, and I'm going to wait till tomorrow to see if I actually make a play on them. But it's a pretty tempting price with the Rangers at around plus 140, whatever the number is for tomorrow's game. I think that's a pretty nice price for a Rangers team that should be able to keep these games close.
Wow, Rangers trying to win their first cup since 1994 in the Mark Messier team. Rangers are plus 146, I'm seeing, tomorrow night, game four, back in Florida. Rangers up 2-1 in the best of seven Eastern Conference Finals. All right, tonight, and I was just, you know, we were saying earlier, because the NBA might be in a situation where we're going to have a long break here. So hockey's going to be front and center. Tonight is game three of the Stars and the Oilers. The Oilers were able to take game one in overtime against the Stars. Stars were able to knot it back up in game two. We're in Edmonton now. Our buddy Andy McNeil used to come on the show all the time. He lives in Edmonton. And I was asking him, I was like, okay, what bets do you have? He says, well, I have the Stars to win it all, but just for the people of Edmonton, I wouldn't mind losing the bet and seeing this happen. How do you feel about this? Edmonton is minus 125 in game three. They're a slight favorite. And when it comes to the series price, it's a complete coin flip at this point.
Yeah, well, look, this is a tough one to predict, guys. I will say probably the toughest series I've had. And like I said, I sort of stuck with my pre-playoffs. I think that broke the tie for me, being like, well, I picked Edmonton to go to the Cup final. So if I'm having a tough time deciding this series, let's just roll with the Oilers and see what happens. But so far, this series has gone exactly like every Dallas Stars series so far throughout the course of the playoffs. They lose game one to Vegas. They come back. They look dominant. They win that series. They lose game one to Colorado. They come back. They look dominant late in that series and they win it. And same thing here. They lose game one against Edmonton. Well, they just bounce back and they play a dominant game two. So we'll see if they can carry that in to the road in Edmonton tonight. But I am still going to continue to stick with the Oilers and trust in this team. I am worried about the health level of their star player, Connor McDavid. It does seem like he's playing at less than 100%, but an 80% Connor McDavid is still better than probably almost every player on the ice. And they do still have Leon Draisaitl there, who's done a great job carrying this team as well. And I've also really liked the under in these games as well. I don't think Edmonton gets enough credit for how great they are defensively and the improvements they've made there. And we know Dallas isn't afraid to lock it down. I think especially on the road, that's the type of game that they're going to want to play tonight. So I like the under once again. I'll run that back from Saturday.
All right, real quick, 30 seconds. Conn Smythe, Igor Shesterkin plus 370. Jay Gottinger, 6-1. Connor McDavid, plus 650. Draisaitl, plus 650 as well. Everybody else, double digits. You have a thought?
I like Leon. I like Draisaitl. Like I said, I do think McDavid is a little bit compromised here. So if the Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup, which is kind of crazy to say, a Canadian team possibly winning the Stanley Cup, I think Draisaitl is the guy that's going to be hoisting that beautiful Conn Smythe trophy, one of my favorite trophies in pro sports.
Yeah, I think Draisaitl is worth a shot there, plus 650, because you're right, Connor McDavid looks diminished. Todd Wright, our buddy Todd Wright, is going to have a tough time if a Canadian team wins the Cup. His head might explode. He just doesn't think it's going to happen. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. Have a great week.